Hey, leaders, listeners, and life's most curious people, this is Meaningful Mischief. Three entrepreneurs in pursuit of bringing our best, giving the most, and having fun along the way. No overnight successes, scaling hacks, or planning models here. Just a conversation about what we're learning and loving about meaning, impact, health, wealth, and everything in between. This is Meaningful Mischief. Let's jump in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
Today's episode is about conflict and how we deal with it when it comes up in our lives, if we have any hacks or tricks or anything we've learned along the way. But before we get there, last episode was about sleep. And funny enough, I woke up in the middle of the night thinking, holy crap, I didn't tell you guys my favorite sleep hack of late. And I've been a wake up in the middle of the night, wide awake, monkey brain person for a long time. So I now, before I go to bed, and then when I wake up in the middle of the night, I will listen to fiction, like on Audible. And just so my eyes are still closed and I'm not like reading, no lights on or whatever. And I just listen to a story, which gets me out of my head. So I detach from my planning brain and get lost in a story. And then eventually I fall asleep. Only downside is that oftentimes you'll sleep through a few chapters and you spend a good chunk of your time trying to figure out where you were before. But anyway, it's a really good hack and I can't believe I forgot it.
Do you dream about the chapters?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But sometimes I wake up. Actually, one time I woke up and like heard kind of like the end of the book before I was supposed to know what happened, which was kind of a letdown, but it's good. Like, and it can't be. One time I also listened to a book that got like super exciting in the middle of the night where like the heart's racing and you need to see what happens. Like that was the opposite effect. So you got to pick the right genre and time in the book. There we go.
But doesn't that one quick question before we move on. Does that not mess with your brown noise?
That's the weirdest thing. This is so funny. So I play brown noise on my Alexa at my house. But when I'm in a hotel and I have to play the brown noise through my speaker, through my phone, yes, I can't do both. And it's troubling because what I'll do is I'll put the Alexa on with the brown noise. I'll put the phone right by my ear. Like,
you're a gadget woman.
It's the weirdest thing. I'm still sleepy, I have to go and put the phone on the charger and stop the thing before I wake up completely. It's a lot, I know. And this is all with an eye mask on.
And then you have to choose between brown noise and story?
Brown noise, 100%.
Oh, brown noise is the winner?
Yeah, because I feel like I can't, like when the brown noise goes off, like when the internet goes down every once in a while in the middle of the night, I wake up and I'm like, cool. And then I have to turn my phone on because Alexa's not working. It's a thing. I might have the biggest sleep problems in this group. Let's just put that in the Mary category.
Yeah. It's a conflict, which brings us on to today.
It's a conflict for me. That's right. So today's topic is conflict, and we have not had any conversation around conflict yet. So I don't even know how you guys feel about it at all, or if you have any ways of dealing with it. Has conflict been a big issue, or resolving conflict been a big issue for you guys personally, professionally?
Yeah, yes. I think so. And I think communication is the way through it.
Mm-hmm.
I think depending on what the conflict is, and I always think that you can't reason with someone who is unreasonable. So sometimes it's difficult to find a path through and somebody just wants to vent because there's different types of conflict, right? But this is if it's a personal conflict between two mm-hmm. people or a group of people. I think it's all about, you know, communication, managing expectations, listening is a key criteria. Mm-hmm. For me anyway, if someone wants to have a bit of a rant or they've got something to say, is listening to them and trying to mirror them and to show empathy and sympathize with their situation, even though you might not agree with it. You know, I mean, for me, I'd say the biggest disagreements will be with people at work and maybe my wife. And it's just listening and acknowledging and trying to show that you understand where they're coming from, you understand their point of view, even though you may not agree with it and you have a different viewpoint. And then it's like, okay, so what is the core problem? And then how do we move forward? Like how do we move forward from this? You know, because sometimes it doesn't need to be a solution of a disagreement. It could just be, they just want to be heard.
Yeah. It's a huge part of it. When was the last time you had a conflict that where you felt so right that it was hard for you to get into that empathy, I hear you mode?
Go to Stella and I'll think of it.
Okay.
You go first and I'll think more.
Okay. So, I mean, we talked a little bit about this when we talked about strengths. Like, we all have filters that make us feel good, right? Like, it's what we're hardwired to experience in terms of the way we view the world or the way that we experience the world. And the universal goal is to have this sense of self-worth, right? And we only see it our way, right? To look at it from different perspectives is a little bit more difficult, but the only way you could do that is if you understand yourself best. And when conflict arises, usually it's a misperceived experience based on what we experience or what we see. And when there's a breakdown in that self-worth, whether it's ourselves or someone else, that's where the, like you said, James, the communication lapses. And it's easier for other people to look outside and see where the conflict is within ourselves than it is for us to see it internally ourselves eventually. But it's like there's huge opportunities in being aware of the conflict and letting the conflict get to the point where it'll destroy relationships. And then, you know, ideally, and what you were talking about, James, is what I call objective disagreements, right? Because if you can objectively disagree, now you're saying, okay, you have your point of view, I have my point of view, let's have a discussion and see which way and how we can not resolve the issue, but just have communicate, right? Communicate through it. If it gets personal, that's when, and for me, I mean, it just goes to the point where, you know, you go into a conflicted state and it changes the behavior of who we are. Not always, but sometimes. And then if it continues to be conflicted, now, you know, the problem that existed is, you know, the only thing that exists, the other person's out the door. And now you have this inner conflict with a problem that you can't communicate through because in your mind, the other person doesn't exist anymore. So it's conflict is it can be a great thing, right? But it can also be a not so great thing. And like you said, James, I mean, for me too, the hardest one is personal relationship with my wife by far, right? And then, you know, even at the office when it's with partners that you work with, right? Usually that's where it occurs the most, in my opinion. But yeah, I mean.
Yeah. So, okay. So in the world of, we understand that, I don't know. I mean, I get it. Like, communication, it's, you don't see yourself objectively, like all those things make sense to me in a very sort of rational and like detached and Zen Buddhist way. But we don't always approach things that way. Like, I think intellectually, we can get it and know that, oh, I should see it from the other person's point of view and stuff like that. But oftentimes it's not that easy. Even when you know it, you're going into a conflict and you're like, I know I should be da 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 da, you know? And so, I mean, I guess I have some triggers.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, what are your triggers?
Well, it's funny. I mean, in the world of, we've all talked about strengths and we talked about this thing called the print profile, and that's really your subconscious motivators. Well, my number one subconscious motivator is to enjoy life and be happy. And so when things get shitty and negative, I like want to hit the eject button. I'm like, I don't like this. I want to be out of here. So that's one thing that I could initially shut down. But then I'm also like a super extrovert. So I process things externally. So I need to talk about them. And so whoever's in my range is going to hear about it, because I need to like get it off my chest kind of thing, if I'm talking about a situation I've ejected myself from. So that's one. But then things like naysayers, people always see things from the negative point of view, the we can't do this people, the people that are like, we've done this forever, so why would we change? Like, those are the things that start to like come up for me, and I can feel myself having like a physical reaction to them. And in the moment, I'm like chewing on the inside of my cheek. And I'm like, I think I'm self-aware enough and mature enough to pause, like to know that I'm having that reaction, and then to sort of try to coach myself out of it. And then maybe three things I use. Number one, curiosity is one of my top personal value, and it's our one of our company values too. You can't be curious and right at the same time. And so the minute I play the curious card, and we do it with each other at work too, like, are you curious about this or are you right? You also can't be curious and angry, because if you're genuinely curious about where someone's coming from, then you can't be mad at them because you're like, you're trying to understand them. So that's like a little sort of trigger, like I coach myself to go, how do you get curious in this situation instead of right or whatever? And then the other one I've used for years, and it comes to more work relationships, because I used to work at larger organizations. So I'd be in all kinds of meetings with all kinds of people who had all kinds of different working styles and opinions and whatever. And so, yes, I would get triggered way more often. Like in the small team we have now, we have pretty good tools for working through things. And there's a lot of trust in the environment and stuff like that. But I remember walking into meetings where I'm like, oh God, this person again. Every time I'm in a meeting with this person, X, Y, and Z happens, or all their previous behaviors or whatever are now coming into this conversation. And there's something called unconditional positive regard, which I think was a William James thing, a psychologist thing, like way back in the day. And it was to say, like, it was really about self-reflection, like give yourself, recognize that you are with positive intent and you're doing your best all the time. So if you use that filter for other people and you're like, no matter what's happened before, I'm going to go into this discussion with unconditional positive regard, recognizing the person is trying, there is positive intent, maybe they're struggling and all of that. Then all of a sudden it starts to feel like I start to feel better and more open and more curious in the situation. Now, that's different when I feel super right in a conversation with my husband. But when we get into high conflict, I'm usually the one that, well, he may argue with this, but I think I like kind of calm down and I think about, but I'm still like adrenaline's flowing. So I'm not sure how productive we are in that conversation in the beginning.
Anyway. It is difficult because, and I think that when we advise other people or see other people having disputes, we always go, yeah, that's where it's going wrong. But yet when we're in the room and it's all heated, and myself, I think that I'm generally very calm when it comes to disputes and conflict, and can kind of dial the clock back and just, you know, take time out to try and respond. It still gets tough. It's still, you look back at after discussions, you go, why did I say that? You know, I knew if I was going to say that, it was going to make it, you know, more aggressive and more confrontational. But it's difficult because it's when you're in the moment. I think when we're all out of the heat, it's easier on reflection to kind of look at it and say, maybe we should do it like this, or maybe. But when you're in it and someone's you know, firing at you and criticizing you, and then it's tough because the natural reaction comes in to defend, and then we attack back, and
because we want to make our point, right?
One of the things that you just said there about visualizing the other person, because when somebody cuts me up in front of us in the car, and it happens a lot in the UAE, so you're in the outside lane and someone will cut up and everything. What I always try to do is think to myself that that person has probably got the wife in the passenger seat and they're on the way to the hospital to go and deliver. And that's why he's driving like that. So all of a sudden it changes my view on why he's driving like that, as opposed to he's just being an ass and he's trying to cut in front of me because he's an ass.
Yeah.
And
you know, it's funny.
Frames it differently.
Totally. And that's just the story in your head. Like that person might not even have seen you and they weren't trying to be rude or whatever, but it's the story you attach to it, and you can literally change the story, right? We talk about my favorite quote of all time before, maybe not. It's a Viktor Frankl quote. So Viktor Frankl, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning. Did I tell you this? Anyway, well, I'm going to tell you again. I'm going to tell you all again. Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. He was a Holocaust survivor and a psychiatrist. Made it through the Holocaust, with a strong sense of personal purpose, which was to figure out how to teach people how to deal with adversity and live through it. His quote that goes, between the stimulus and the response, there is a space. And in that space is the power to choose your response. And in your response lies your growth and your freedom. And I mean, it just describes what you were talking about. You're in the car and you want to react because somebody cut you off. I mean, I've done it before where I think I may have talked about this, but I've done it before where I like feel like such an idiot after, because I mean, I've gotten myself all worked up and like who's suffering? The person may not have even seen me, but I'm the one in the car that's now like frazzled, exhausted, mad, whatever. And then I'm like, well, how did I do that? Like it's just me suffering, you know? So it's that ability to take a space between things. So,
So
what about
what how do you, other than that though, what would you say is good tips or advice for anyone listening to, if they feel like they're having regular conflicts in their life, you know, what tips do you think is good, that like with sleep and things that we do?
Oh gosh. So I think like perspective taking, I think much goes back to what Stella was talking about, like the even just the process of imagining you're that person. Like if you keep coming up against the same problem and conflict with someone, whether it's a colleague, a boss sometimes for people, or a teenager, like your child, whatever, to maybe not in the heat of the moment, but to think about being in their shoes and what they would see and want from the situation. It's a super powerful exercise, even to talk through it as if you are that person, as opposed to just like, oh, I'm going to think about what it's like to be that person. Like to literally role play with somebody else that you are that person, that you will see things differently from their perspective. And then I get clear. I think you said this earlier, James, right at the outset, is the what's the goal here? So I think, you know, my husband and I have been married for 21 years, together for 26. And someone, I was on a train platform. It was actually after one of our, it was after our live recording. We got together last month in a studio, and I go to catch the train, and this nice couple, because I don't really know how to get to the train, it was under construction, stuff like this. Nice couple, young, they're like just engaged. They were looking at a wedding venue, and I started chatting with them, and they're like, "Yeah, we're looking." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, my anniversary is tomorrow." And they said, "What's the trick to it lasting this long?" And one of my first things I said was kindness. Like, no matter what conflict we have in our marriage, we always are thinking like neither one of us wants to hurt the other. So there's a sense of like we disagree and I'm so angry right now and I can't believe he thinks XYZ, but I don't ever like hit below the belt. There's never this like there's never meanness in it. So this caring for never wanting to like literally hurt each other is a common thing that we've always had. Whereas we see some couples who are just terrible to each other in the conflict and they ridicule each other and they, you know, in front of other people and all this stuff. And that's just a line we've never crossed. So there's that, you know, and that's in a real, like a personal relationship. I would say the same would be true with the kids, like with my own kids. It would be respect each other and be kind. And even when you disagree, like understanding where someone's coming, like that piece. I don't know. So that's one.
Which is awesome, by the way, because it's that's a great fundamental to build upon, isn't it? Sorry,
Yeah, and
go
I mean, I don't know if I strategically knew it getting into things, like getting into it, you know what I mean? I don't know if I was like, oh, this is how I'm going to behave, or this is how we're going to behave. But I just there's that kind of organizing idea inside the conflict, which is we don't want to hurt each other and we don't want to be mean and we don't want to be those people. So like even when we're like mad as hell, it doesn't go there. And so you could take that idea and sort of bring it to the workspace. And you know, all of us are leaders and we run businesses, and each of us, regardless of where you are in your career, you're a leader in your own right. You're a leader in your own seat, right? To think about what the objective is, and if the objective is to do great things together, like to make progress, to have an impact as a team, then is you being right more important than the collective team making progress? No. And so, I mean, I'm not perfect at this one because I, and you know, you, the more you're in your career and the more, I don't know, I guess. When you run your own business, there is sometimes a, well, we're doing it this way because I said so in my head. But that's not That's not the way to go. But we do take kindness in the workspace, and we have clients who aren't always kind and stuff. And then we've got a, and I don't mean like mushy kind. I just mean like decent people that give you constructive feedback and treat you like a partner and all those things. And there's, you know, very, very, very few times in my life where somebody's yelled at me or been, or like, 'cause I just don't live in that world where I don't surround myself with those people who are like that, right? Like that kind of inflammatory energy in my life doesn't really exist because
you don't let it.
I won't let it. Like, yeah, like it's like, okay, well, if you're that kind of person, no thanks. I don't live in that world.
Yeah.
I don't know. So for me, it's
all the things that we talked about so far in the previous podcast, right? We talked about strengths, we talked about values and like beliefs. It's all incorporated into what I think creates the triggers too.
Yeah.
Right. Because I'm exactly like you, Mary, like, you know, negativity is just like, the worst for me is when I get cut off. If I'm in mid thought trying to express and I get cut off, it's just like, oh man, because in my mind, you know, everything's about communication, but if I can't communicate it because the other person's already thinking through the thoughts, for me, it drives me like bonkers. And, you know, one of the things, you know, you, James, you asked what's the one thing that sort of negates or bypasses any of the conflict. For me, it's always growth. Well, two things, growth and purpose, right? Because if I know that the other person's on purpose and then they're constantly growing, and then the same thing on my end, it's a lot easier to, how do I say this? There's space for movement, right? Whereas if somebody's locked in and that's it, okay? And especially in this day and age, there's a lot of fear, like a lot of anger, a lot of fear with what people are going through in life. And if everything is based in that space, there's no movement, there's no space, right? So now there's a stuck state that now where are you going to go with it, right? You know, and I love the fact that you're setting, I mean, that's basically a value or a boundary in terms of, look, we're going to respect each other and so we're not going to hurt each other and let's like get through this. There's like, I shouldn't even say, there's direction for the movement. How's that? You're directing it going, okay, we're going to direct this thing. Let's move forward. And then the last thing I want to add to something that you said, it's everything's around perception, right? Because how we play that story in our heads, then triggers an emotion. Okay. That emotion drives a behavior. And then if we don't look for the facts, or James, you mentioned, ask the questions, be more understanding where the other person's at, then that story just keeps playing itself and it may not be the real story. Okay. Yeah. As more facts come in, all of a sudden now it's like, oh, hold on. My perception just shifted a little bit here. Whether it's real or not is irrelevant. It gives you space to then have your own movement in terms of seeing it from a different perspective. And then that's what gets you out or gets you in a place of learning where you're like, huh, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have got that learning, which then you can put towards growth and deepen the passion towards the purpose and so on and so forth.
I have 100 things in my head. And when we talked about this being a topic, I had no idea I'd have this many topics in my head related to conflict. Still, we use this in our work. The story in my head. When you do this, the story in my head is this. And it, even just using that language to frame it that way, acknowledges that I'm having a perspective here that is related to what I'm seeing you do, but I'm not, you know, people say you did this and you think that, and they're like, you have no idea what their intentions are. All you know is what it's causing in you. So you can explain the perspective as you have it. But, you know, we've talked about this, like, you know, we're humans. We are born with filters and, you know, beliefs and values that run, that, you know, everything runs through. And so we see things differently than others. Okay. So I'm reading this book.
By the way, that's why it was so much fun going through the process with you. Right. Because it's a good example of where you mentioned, okay, three, I can't remember the question now, significant times in your event, significant events in your life. Right. Yeah. Like for me, you know, two of them were conflicted. right? But then you allow, by asking the right questions, how it gets reframed in terms of understanding, holy jumping, this is why all this happened for me. And then it became part of the brand, which is one of the reasons why I did this. It's part of the, on purpose.
For those of you watching in person, watching the video of this, you now see that Stell has a strikingly similar resemblance in his office as me.
Yeah. He's a white sheep and a black sheep.
That's amazing. It's just a matter of time before James finds a woodmaker in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. And I'll have to come up with a new ring.
Yes, you do. You do. Maybe you can make it a square. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, just to be different. I cannot have a circle wooden board in the back. It's never gonna happen.
You're because funny, you man. Hate it, or because you don't want to be like us?
No, because it's just too same. It's
you could put it on the other side of you.
Yes.
No.
It's too funny.
I'm good with just looking at you two with the circle boards.
Thank you. That's cool. Okay, here's something. I'm reading this book. I'm actually literally in the middle of reading this book right now, and it's about deep, and part of the section, the book is on purpose and how to integrate purpose into organizations, which is what I love to nerd out on. But they talk about the listening spectrum, and I should quote the right guy who made it. We'll put it in the show notes. This is not my original thought, but they talk about these mindsets, and listening for content would be sort of the 0 point. Minus one is listening to validate your own point. So you get a minus. And minus two is you're listening to set up your next point. And it's so funny because when Stell was talking about something, it made me think of the book. And instead I stopped listening and I grabbed the book because I wanted to make the point. And so I acknowledged myself doing exactly what I was.
So you're minus one.
No, I was actually minus two because I was like, I'm getting the book and I'm flipping through the book and I've now lost what Stell was saying. Now, so if zero is listening for content, plus one is listening for the other's intent, and plus two is listening for the whole field. So everything that's happening, my intent, their intent, the whatever the context of the situation is. And it's so interesting how just even that scale changes things. So the underlying mindset is my point of view may not be, so this is when you're in the pluses. My point of view might not be the best one. Others have valuable information and perspective that will shape my thinking. Deepening my listening will help me be heard and enable us to reach a shared understanding, and then I'm genuinely open to what others have to say. So that's in the plus. In the minus, when you're like validating your point and setting up your next point, my point is the most essential one. Speaking with intelligence and credibility is how I persuade people. There isn't much value in what the person is saying because I already know what they'll say. Oh, the information is redundant. Ouch. The perspective is irrelevant, and this doesn't apply to me. Like, I think if we're honest with ourselves, 100% we waffle between these all day long. Like, really. And then if we're, you know, self-aware and we pause and take the space, we can get ourselves over into this plus. But I thought that was really interesting.
Well, yeah. It's, again, my perspective on what just happened was a plus two for you.
Oh, why? Because why?
Well, because... the reason I like the podcast is at some point we're all in flow and then you'll say something that triggers an idea that keeps the flow moving. Right. As soon as I was speaking and you're like, oh my God, I have an idea based on what you said, look what happened. And I can explain the difference between plus two, minus two. To me, that's the field. Right.
Well, that makes sense.
It felt like you were in the field. It didn't feel like a minus two to me at all. Okay. Cause as soon as it's like, right. And the nice thing with both of you, and not just on the podcast, period, I get inspired with what I hear and when you guys share certain things. And then it triggers a response for me to think differently, which then allows me to then communicate at a level of, oh my God, you guys just made me realize something. Yeah. Right. And then, I mean, both of you done it in so many different ways. Mary, I'll go back to the most recent one when we're doing the work. But your ability to take what I was saying with something that was happening, for example, in my life, and to keep questioning me to understand it from a different perspective, and then at the end to link it to what my brand was brilliant. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even a plus two. That felt like a plus 22 to me.
Thank you.
Because I was heard and listened to at a very, very deep level, and with things that happened for me again, but it was a different perspective in terms of how I could deal with you know, not just the conflicted parts of what happened in my life, but the good stuff too, and how it's all the same. And then one of the things, I mean, you could tell the listeners what it actually was, but it's like, how do you take all that, create a brand, and then move the message so that it's a forward moving entity, not, you know, this brand that just has a name on it. So anyways,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm off topic now, but I just wanted to say that I don't feel like a minus two with you.
Thank you. I was just like, yeah, I think you're right. In that moment, I was feeling the, I was being like sort of, it was elevating my own sense of engagement in the conversation, because like, oh, then there's this piece about deep listening. And then I learned something and I want to share the thing I learned. And then I was like having that meta experience where I'm like, does that mean I'm taken out of listening and all of that? But I appreciate that. And then, you know, in our process with the work we do with leaders and businesses, it is very much deep listening. You know, to take it away from conflict for a second, it's there's nothing more I like than digging in to understand people and what drives them. And you get to that through stories of their life, the mirror that their life gives them in terms of this is what matters to me and stuff like that. So in outside of conflict, it's very easy, and I love it, to go in and dig in and mine for that and help someone pull that out of their life experience and see it, and then frame it in a way that helps them use it as a guideline going forward personally, because it's like an empowerment thing. It's like, now I own my story. And then other people can attach it to that story and find their own identification in that story when it becomes a brand that affects more people than just one, right? So thank you for saying that. I have another question back to conflict. Do you avoid conflict?
Yes, and yes.
Yes, I do too. Yes. I do not enjoy. So I know when I have to have a tough conversation, and then I'm like, I wish I don't always want to go in there. And then if it really matters, like in a personal relationship, or if it really matters to our, you know, the people in my life, it's like my family. And I mean, you know, my people and my network, and then there's the people inside the business and clients, you know, those things, those relationships all matter. So you can't not go in for the tough conversations sometimes. So James, do you avoid it too?
I do, but I think if it depends on if it's going to be a one-off argument or conflict or discussion, or is it going to be something which is, I need to bring the elephant in the room and address it.
Right.
So, you know, if it's somebody who you end up having a disagreement with on the street because whatever, you cut them up at a petrol station, they'd be like, sorry, you go ahead, and then that's the end of it.
Yeah.
But if it's something that's happening at work and you know that it needs to be addressed, then I won't avoid it, because for me, it will just get worse. I will go on, I'll address the issue head on, but in a hopefully a nice, calm way, and say, look, you know, I understand that there's a bit of an issue here. Can we please talk about it?
Right.
You know, I'd like to understand that. I'll go first.
Do you have to prepare for it?
I will, in my mind, I will play what you said earlier. I will play it from their point of view in my head first. So I'll try and think what is their point of view, because that helps me in two ways. It helps me understand, am I the one that's being unreasonable, or am I the one that's not able to deliver, and that's where the conflict is coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And B, that if I do feel like it's them that's being unreasonable, I need to try and understand how to move through it. So I just kind of play that scenario in my head, a bit of a role play, that how am I going to say it? What's their response likely to be? And then what do I think is the solution? How do we move through it?
Right. That's great. I started something recently. I noticed that as a business owner, I could be pretty intense. Like, you know, not like in a negative way, I don't think, but like I can be driving to the key point, and I feel like I fall out of my natural way in those environments. Like, I don't feel like I'm my best self when I'm like, but why didn't this happen? Why didn't we do this? Da, da, da. Like, I can get really pointed and direct, and I don't want to make people feel uncomfortable and all that. So I've been reflecting on that recently because we got amazing people on our team who are like, they're here because they're incredible people and they're in the right roles and all that stuff. And, we're a business that's growing and we're figuring a lot of stuff out. We're building products, we're trying new things, and just by virtue of that is learning and development. Like we're most often not doing it the right way because we're doing something new and we're learning, right? So I've been playing around with, and it comes from a Tony Robbins thing, but which really comes from NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, because that's what Tony learned. But anyway, this idea of best self or being in the, managing your state, and that, depends on three things that he calls a triad. But one is the story you're telling yourself, the other one's what you're focusing on, and then the third sort of side of the triangle is your physiology. And you can create a triad for best self in all different ways, places in your life. You could be I could have like the best mom triad, or I don't know, best new business person, best presenter, speaker, whatever. And I did that once, which was really cool, through a coaching exercise for like how I show up in the room with workshops with clients, because I just love that space and I want to channel my best self, right? No matter what's going on with me today. So this one was around like my best coaching, supportive leader self, as opposed to being the business owner looking for gaps as to why things aren't happening, because that's a whole self. I started thinking about, well, who do I need to be? How do I need to show up so I can be supporting the team the best and not, like making people feel on their heels like they're not doing a good job? Because none of that's true. It's more about the situation and me kind of falling into the gap in my own mind. So anyway,
To make it
that was
about
one.
them.
And then like remembering that I do have an identity around being a supportive servant leader coach, that's like, okay, how do I lift this person up? If I could show up to a conversation, and it's always around things that are not in my unique ability, because that's where I get about like finance and process and things like that, like our administrative type stuff. It's always around that stuff because I don't have as much inherent joy and passion for it. So, just even taking a few moments to remember, like, what's the story? Well, the story is that these people are amazing people and it's my job to help them find they're amazing and lift them up. What do I focus on is focusing on how do I get the person from here to there? And in my physiology, like, how do I show up when I am open, supportive, and coaching? Well, I'm relaxed. I'm breathing fully. I have like a full field of vision. I don't know. Like, I'm more expansive, right? Whereas when I'm intense and like, why isn't this happening? Why couldn't it be faster? My narrow field of vision, my shoulders are up, I'm speaking more intensely. Like, you can manage that stuff. And I hadn't really thought of this as it related to conflict, but it's just like, it's basically deciding what uniform you're wearing that day. Are you wearing like intense, firing squad questions boss uniform? Or are you wearing supportive coach because that's who you really want to be and how you want to show up to get the best out of the situation? So that's another one. Anyway, I digress all the time.
The visual
Yeah.
space is a big one. Because you're taking your body out of sympathetic response like right away, right?
Right.
We call it trainer state, or you hear the word honoponopono.
I
But the
don't know that. Tell
second,
me more.
okay, so if you start putting awareness on your side vision and open it up as much as possible, you go into what's called a parasympathetic state. Okay, so automatically your physiology shifts.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, and one of the things before I get on stage is that you get into what we call trainer state. So you open up that space, so that your brain is aware of who it is that's going to be in front of you, so you can take in that information, but then it totally calms you down in terms of what's happening on internally. So that's the physiology piece. I mean, that's one part of the physiology
I
piece.
love it.
Music's
Do you know
another
what
one.
else we've done? Is we'll start meetings sometimes and have everybody, like virtual meetings, have everybody turn their camera off and play their favorite song and dance around their office for like 3 minutes, and then we all come back. And I am not joking. Try it. It creates
Can
an amazing
imagine.
meeting. Everybody's pumped
Yeah.
up. They change their
Yeah,
f so you
the
Yeah, your physiology is directing
energy.
how you show up to the meeting, not the in your head, oh, it's another meeting and I'm in it for an hour and then I can go have lunch. Like, you It's a whole different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Good.
We're gonna wrap this one up.
I guess so. Any final thoughts? Oh, do you want to do like a one thing? What's one thing you would do in conflict?
I'll go. So, I mean, communication, and I'm not going to do what you do where you say one thing and then you end up saying like five.
So then I go last.
Communication, but in particular, I would say just listening.
Love it. Thank you, Stel.
Breathe. Take a break and breathe.
Good mm-hmm. ones. I'm going to say curiosity, full stop.
Really?
It's difficult. I have like a, I did not know I had 1,000 things to say, but
oh, come on. That's it. Anyway, that's all you're going to give us.
That's all I got. Curiosity. Can't be curious and write at the same time. Boom. Mic drop.
Wow.
Good engine. Yeah.
Have a good day, everybody.
And that's all for this episode of Meaningful Mischief. If you found value in today's conversation, you can subscribe wherever you podcast. And hey, spread the mischief yourself. You'll find all the links in the show notes. You can visit us at meaningfulmischief.com and follow us on Instagram at meaningfulmischief. Until next time, keep making meaning and have fun while doing it. This is Meaningful Mischief, signing off.